This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Welcome to Campus Voices, where each week we look at some key issues that affect UK students, the UK campus, and the Lexington community. Campus Voices is created by Journalism 304 students with the help of the journalism faculty. Please send any questions to news@wrfl.fm.
Good evening and welcome to Campus Voices, a program where we take a look at what's going on in Lexington and across the UK community. I'm your host, Maggie Davis, and today we're going to be discussing Kentucky's Hepatitis A outbreak. It's killed 40 people since last December. Hepatitis A is also known as HIV, and it's one of the oldest diseases known to mankind, according to the World Health Organization. Hepatitis A was discovered in 1973, but it was a previously unidentified viral disease. HIV is highly contagious to the liver, according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. The virus can range from a mild case where you'd be sick for a couple of weeks to a severe illness that could last for months. However, you can completely avoid the virus if you're vaccinated. It's rare for the virus to cause death, but data from Kentucky's State Health Department and the Center for Disease Control show that the state has been widely affected, even on our own campus here at UK. According to the Kentucky Cabinet for Health and Family Services, more than 3,000 Kentuckians have contacted the virus through contaminated food, unclean counters, drugs, or sex. WRFL reporter Tessa Howard has more on the growing outbreak.
Just about every week, it seems like there is a new report on someone who has contracted hepatitis A in Kentucky. In fact, according to Kentucky's Department of Public Health, the department officially declared a hepatitis A outbreak in late August of 2017. Since then, there has been over 3,000 hepatitis A-associated cases across the state's 120 counties. A total of 97 counties had at least one report within the past 2 years. Kentucky has even surpassed Michigan's 846 cases, which were the highest in the nation of June 2018. The current outbreak has targeted four times more victims than the state's last outbreak in 1988 that killed one person. It was only a short amount of time that the virus would cause an outbreak and travel across the U.S. a second time. According to California's Department of Public Health, the outbreak began in San Diego County in November 2016. The outbreak killed 20 people and sickened 600. In the last 2 years, California's state and local governments have tried to decrease the virus by promoting vaccinations, washing the streets, installing sanitation stations, and creating shelters for the homeless, but it was already too late. According to the Kentucky Cabinet for Health and Family Services, within a year, the virus traveled back into Kentucky. Louisville had contracted the virus that impacted adults who were either fast food workers, homeless, or drug users. Reporting for WRFL Radio, I'm Tessa Howard.
A lot to digest there, and we'll get to all of that here in just a minute. But first, I want to introduce our two guests that we have in the studio with us today. We're going to be hearing from Lexington Fayette County's Health Department Communications Officer, Kevin Hall. And as a communications officer, Hall has a demonstrated history of working in the health, wellness, and fitness industry. We also have the assistant professor from the Department of Epidemiology at the University of Kentucky's College of Public Health, Dr. Kathleen Winter. Prior to joining UK's faculty, Dr. Winter worked as an epidemiologist in the immunization branch of the California Department of Public Health. Dr. Winter's research is in infectious disease, maternal and infant immunizations, and vaccine-preventable diseases. Thank you both so much for being here with us tonight.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. Well, obviously, you all both have a lot of experience with this particular subject, but Dr. Winter, you have a lot of experience specifically with studying these infectious diseases. Looking back, what is the difference between Kentucky's 1988 Hep A outbreak that really only killed one person versus this current outbreak that's been so widespread and so dangerous in Kentucky?
So hepatitis A has declined dramatically in the U.S. since the 1990s when the vaccine first became available. So it was first licensed in 1996. And it's been used in Kentucky pretty much since 2006 when it was recommended for children to get it, though it was never a school requirement until recently. So we've seen declines in incidence across the board in every state since the mid-1990s. In 1988, there was an outbreak in Kentucky due to an infected food product. It was related probably to some kind of produce. I don't think the source was ever definitively identified. So anytime that happens, you can have clusters and outbreaks occurring. But once that product is removed from the shelf or no longer served, then the outbreak kind of dies typically. Whereas this outbreak has continued, we've got a lot of person-to-person transmission. So we have transmission happening in communities of people who are spreading it to each other, and they're not just getting it from some primary source. So that's really what we're seeing now is this propagation and continued spread. So we don't really have a good handle on that yet.
Right. So Kentucky obviously is struggling, like you said, with that spread, even now after several months after the outbreak first started. What makes Kentucky so susceptible to hepatitis A, whereas you said in the rest of the country, these outbreaks are decreasing?
So there's been outbreaks in other states as well. So we're not entirely unique. And you mentioned the San Diego outbreak earlier. But Michigan has had a lot of cases, West Virginia, many other states have been affected. And it's a similar risk group. So it's individuals who have a lot of characteristics that make them difficult to reach in terms of public health. So they're either using illicit drugs, they have poor kind of circumstances in terms of their living situation, a lot of homeless, incarcerated individuals. So those people are more susceptible to this type of disease that's spread through poor hygiene. And, you know, you've got a lot of people living in close quarters and incarcerated settings, or people who are in drug treatment, rehab settings. So they are sharing bathroom facilities and sharing lots of things intimately. So that can certainly contribute to that. So Kentucky's affected by a lot of those problems, right. You know, unfortunately, as we know. And so that makes our risk group a little bit more relevant here.
Right. Mr. Hall, we'll send it to you now. Like she said, obviously, Kentuckians are affected because of those factors. When one of these outbreaks starts, can you talk us through that process a little bit from diagnosis to how fast that the Kentucky Health Department can really address that issue?
We can't really speak on behalf of the Kentucky Health Department or the Kentucky Department for Public Health. What I can tell you in Lexington, though, is the Lexington-Fayette County Health Department was notified of this as soon as the outbreak started. The state did send out information to all health departments, and it gave us a chance to be able to monitor what was happening. It started in Louisville in Kentucky, and it was started in jails and homeless shelters there. So that was in November 2017. In Lexington, we were able to look at what was happening in Louisville to get prepared for when it eventually worked its way across the interstate into Fayette County. So in November 2017, we started working with the Fayette County Jail. We started working with homeless shelters and restaurants to be able to vaccinate as many people as possible. What we're seeing in Lexington and actually throughout all the state is it's not so much in restaurants as in Lexington. I think fewer than 5% of the cases are actually in restaurants. What you hear about that more frequently because there's a public health messaging. It's to alert people who may have eaten there and been exposed to it. But we've been going to restaurants, talking to the management, educating them on what to watch for, how to get the vaccine to their employees. And the biggest thing was to, if your employees are sick, send them home. Don't let somebody who's got these symptoms keep working.
Right. And you talk about going and educating these people who work in the restaurants. But what about the general public? How do you get that message out about what is Hep A and how do you prevent yourself from getting it?
Well, one thing is to be on radio shows like this, honestly, right. Is we will talk about it with anybody at any point. Early on in this outbreak, to be honest, the people of Lexington and people throughout central Kentucky were not paying attention. They were thinking it's in Louisville. It's not going to happen here. I have no idea why people thought it wouldn't work its way down I-64 into Fayette County. What we saw then when it first started in Lexington is people thought, well, it's in the jail or it's at a homeless shelter. It wasn't until on September 11th of 2018 when there was the first announced case in a restaurant where people said, oh, wait a minute. I actually could get exposed to this. And we saw the number of vaccinations start skyrocketing. The one that really hit home for people was when there was a case at the cafeteria at the UK hospital.
Right.
And you can monitor the charts to see the vaccinations just really, really go off the charts on that one.
Right. And we talked a little bit earlier about that outbreak that did happen in California. And with that outbreak, there was those hand sanitizing stations and other sort of public safety measures. Is Lexington or just the state of Kentucky in general considering implementing any of those? Or is it more still just trying to keep that contamination isolated?
Really, again, I can't speak on behalf of what the state as a whole would do. In Lexington, we aren't focusing so much on hand sanitization with the alcohol-based sanitizers. Those are great to complement with regular hand washing. Our two main pieces of information are, one, get vaccinated. The vaccine works. Plain and simple, it works. The second thing is wash your hands, and it needs to be with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. People think 20 seconds from the time you walk into the bathroom, get to the sink, and walk out. No, it's 20 seconds with the soap on there. Proper hand washing and the vaccine, both of those together could go pretty much all the way to stopping this outbreak.
Right. And it's a big issue, obviously, but hepatitis A can be a little bit tricky to pinpoint, especially in the medical field. And it's sometimes confused with the flu or other viruses. Many people could confuse how you can contract the virus in addition with how to diagnose it. Uncertainty could be involved with the growing rate of hepatitis A cases. WRFL reporter Elena Kwan reports on those gray areas.
Can catch hepatitis A and transmit it to others within 2 weeks before any symptom appears. According to the Lexington Fayette County Health Department, hepatitis A is a highly contagious disease that can be contracted by anyone. Whether you are considered at high risk or not, it only takes 3 to 4 weeks for the virus to fully develop within the body. The difference between hepatitis A than B and C is that hepatitis A is a short-term infection that does not become chronic. Hepatitis A and C can be short-term but will remain within the bloodstream. Considering the characteristics of the virus, there are a few misconceptions when it comes to understanding hepatitis A. The common misconception of the virus is that it can only be obtained through sexual intercourse and drug use. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the virus is commonly transmitted through the exposure of contaminated food, such as undercooked meat and poorly filtered water. It is fairly easy for people to confuse hepatitis A with the flu. Hepatitis A symptoms include fever, fatigue, loss of appetite, nausea, vomiting, abdominal pain, dark urine, diarrhea, clay-colored bowel movements, joint pain, and yellowing of the skin and eyes. According to the Kentucky Cabinet for Health and Family Services, children who are under the age of 6 will show less to none symptoms when the virus is fully developed. As for adults, they will typically show the symptoms of fever and fatigue. This misdiagnosis not only makes it harder to prevent contagion, but it also has obstructed the lives of thousands. This confusion has caused a number of people to go into school or work thinking they only had something minor, but in actuality, they have obtained the highly contagious disease. Reporting for WRFL Radio, I'm Elena Kwan.
Well, like we just heard from Elena, there are a lot of different ways that you can contract this disease. Dr. Winter, I heard you kind of laughing during the part where it said you could only obtain the disease through sexual intercourse or drug use. Obviously, that's not true. How would you react to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think hepatitis is difficult because there's hepatitis A, B, and C, and people get very confused over the three. They're actually all completely unrelated viruses that all affect the liver, which give them the name the hepatitis viruses. But hepatitis A is really the foodborne one of the three. So that's why it's sort of funny that, you know, we think that it's difficult to understand how it's transmitted. It's through food and water typically. Probably sexual transmission, drug use, that's all probably secondary. That's not the primary mode of transmission. Typically. This is a disease that is widely circulating in other countries where there's poor sanitation. And we are lucky in this country, we don't see major epidemics because we have good sanitation and now we have the vaccine as well.
So when you look at that hepatitis A versus B versus C, what do you think makes hepatitis A stand out so much, especially in terms of the number and the popularity almost of the outbreaks and how much attention those have been getting?
I mean, all of these diseases can be devastating, but having them together is really where you can have very poor outcomes. So partly why Kentucky has really had such high rates of hospitalization and fatalities from this outbreak is because we already have a high rate of hepatitis C in our population, and especially this group of individuals who seem to be most at risk. So our prevalence of hepatitis C virus in this state are one of the highest in the country, and that's why widely because of drug use. And so because of that, those individuals are more susceptible to having severe disease or fatal outcomes when they get another virus.
How would the state or the city of Lexington or even the country really help target those specific individuals who are so at risk for a multitude of these diseases, not only Hep A, but like you said, if you're at risk for one, it sort of starts to feed into the others.
And it's difficult because this is a population that's at risk for a lot of things, you know, not just infectious diseases, but there are individuals who are vulnerable for homelessness and food insecurity and all kinds of things that are challenging. So that's a bigger problem that I can't address here today, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, it is a big issue, obviously. Now we'll go back to the beginning, which, of course, is how people are catching the disease itself. Like we just said, there are a lot of different ways you can contract it. But according to the Kentucky Department of Public Health, 94 of Kentucky's 120 counties have reported cases of the hepatitis A virus from fast food chains, restaurants, and schools. Amid the state's outbreak, nearly more than 100 restaurants were being monitored by the Lexington-Fayette County Health Department due to health code violations, including the University of Kentucky's Chandler Hospital and the Good Samaritan cafeterias in September of 2018, like we discussed earlier. WRFL reporter Tessa Howard reports on why this outbreak of Hep A is affecting food establishments across Kentucky.
According to data from Kentucky Cabinet for Health and Family Services, a contaminated food source, cooked or frozen, has not been identified. However, the department believes that the virus is spreading through person-to-person contact, especially in food establishments. Federal regulators and health officials are urging lawmakers to make it mandatory for all food handlers to get vaccinated, but the restaurant industry is fighting back. According to Hep A Online, the restaurant industry urges that giving out mandatory vaccinations to all workers would be difficult and cost the companies $150 to $200 per worker. UK senior Fawn Evans says that she did not know about hepatitis A or the vaccination as a current restaurant server.
When you're coming into a restaurant, you know, you don't think about it. Definitely think my restaurant, they can just be more aware of it and not know at all about hepatitis A.
The start of Evans' serving job started 4 years ago. Evans says serving is her livelihood and pays the bills. She knew that servers like herself try to keep clean.
I definitely try to stay clean. I sanitize my hands at least every hour just to make sure, you know, I'm clean. And I try not to, after I serve food to our guests, I don't touch their food afterwards. And then once they eat and I have to clean up their plates, I make sure not to touch their plates. I use a napkin and I'll grab their plates with my napkin so that I'm not touching them, they're not touching me.
If restaurant industries and fast food chains are trying to stay clean, why do they keep contracting the virus?
You can see a bunch of videos on the internet that just show people just being careless. They just don't care. They touch the food. They put food on the ground. Like, they just don't. People just don't care.
Evan hopes Kentucky legislation passes a law for mandated vaccinations for restaurant workers to keep the virus from further spreading. For WRFL, I'm Tessa Howard.
Well, like we just heard, the National Center for Disease Control has issued an emergency alert on hepatitis A to all state and local health officials across the country. The CDC does require first responders and health workers to get vaccinated, but not necessarily food service workers, and that's more up to those individual businesses where, of course, the economics sort of come into play. Why do you think that is? Mr. Hall, we'll start with you.
Well, one, it's really worth repeating that in this particular outbreak, the vast majority are not happening in restaurants, and it is often and typically spread through fecal-oral contamination, primarily through the handling of food or drink. Somebody goes to the bathroom, they don't wash their hands properly, they serve food, they handle food, and then it gets ingested. What we're seeing in this particular outbreak throughout the state is that it's through the close quarters, as Dr. Winter said, it's the shared spaces, it's personal hygiene. In Lexington, the primary risk factor, 65% of the cases, and there have been 179, but 65% of those have been drug use. Now, it's not just injecting drug use. There's, as she mentioned, there's a lot of confusion between hepatitis A, B, and C. And so a lot of people think hepatitis C is primarily an injecting drug use issue, or can be an injecting drug use issue. And hepatitis A is being lumped in with that, but it's not just injecting drugs. We're often seeing it with people who are smoking marijuana. And if you think about it, it's a communal drug. People share it. They've gone to the bathroom, not washed their hands. It's the same as eating something and putting it in your mouth. But 13% of the cases have no risk factors. So it's being spread in ways other than restaurants. That's worth repeating. Now, to answer the question about why is it difficult to get into restaurants, as the reporter mentioned, it's difficult for restaurants to enforce that. It's difficult to stay on top of it. And it's really going to take a push from the restaurants to get on board with it. In Lexington, we've had multiple restaurants reach out to us to say, come vaccinate our workers. And so they've signed contracts with us. They've signed contracts with other medical providers and pharmacies. So there's a move out there to do the protection, but people are reluctant to do anything that is going to be mandated by the state.
Right. Now, of course, like you said, a large percentage of these aren't necessarily happening in restaurants or because of food contamination, but say that a public citizen does go to a restaurant, they're not vaccinated, and then that restaurant comes out, oh, we had an outbreak. What does that person do?
Well, the first, they'll get a notification. The health department will, no matter what county you're in, obviously here in Lexington, the Lexington-Fayette County Health Department will put a notification out. You can get it through news sources, follow us on social media, you'll see that information. There'll be a time frame. It's when the person worked and was showing symptoms so that they're, when they are contagious. And if you ate there between those dates, the best thing to do is to go ahead and get vaccinated. Hepatitis A vaccine can provide protection after the fact, after exposure.
Really?
It's one of the few that actually does that. We have several questions come in whenever we do these reports is, well, why are you giving the vaccine after the fact? It's because it can help.
Right. And obviously, like we've talked about earlier, simple things like washing your hands can help, but it's also super important for people to get that vaccination. In Kentucky, the HIV vaccine was not considered a vaccine requirement until the outbreak was officially declared. Until August 1st of 2018, all Kentuckians from babies to the elderly had the choice to not be vaccinated with the HIV vaccine. For years, people who were not vaccinated could have contracted the virus at any moment. Lack of awareness and knowledge of how to prevent can also play a vital role towards the rising case numbers. WRFL reporter Elena Kwan reports on how a little bit of awareness on both the virus and the vaccine can play a vital role in ending the outbreak.
According to the CDC, vaccines are the best defense against viral diseases like hepatitis A. The hepatitis A vaccine is considered an inactivated vaccine. For long-term protection, the vaccine must be taken in two doses within a six-month span. The CDC also states around 31,000 cases of HIV cases dropped each year since the initial vaccine recommendation in 1996. Even with those rates, the state of Kentucky still found itself within an outbreak. According to the Public Health Organization, vaccines protect entire populations and can be the solution to end the outbreak. On campus, quite a few UK students knew the most effective way to prevent HIV.
Vaccinations!
One way is washing your hands, getting vaccinated.
However, most students don't know what hepatitis A really is or how it's contracted.
I've heard of it, but I don't know exactly what it is.
I know it's a disease, and I know that UK had an outbreak, but I don't know anything else about, like, what can it cause. So, yeah.
I don't really know what it is that much.
According to the U.S. National Library of Medicine National Institutes of Health, changes in behavior in response to the outbreak can, quote, alter the progression of the infectious agent. When people are aware of the disease, they are able to take measures to reduce susceptibility, like knowing how it's contracted.
I know it's contagious, but that's pretty much it.
Is it their blood?
A small ounce of information can go a long ways. The CDC and the LFCHD recommend people becoming their own advocate by spreading awareness to people around them. Reporting for WRFL, I'm Elena Kwan.
A lot of misconceptions and misunderstanding there, obviously just a lack of education with the UK community at this point. Mr. Hall, how would you respond to the students' level of knowledge there?
It's not unexpected. People don't think about hepatitis A. It's something we're running into, not just with the students at UK, it's throughout Kentucky. One of the things that we hear often, too, is this confusion over when the outbreak started and the requirements in schools. You'll see, go on social media, that there are a lot of people who, the anti-vaccine movement, who will say that the outbreak started right when the push to make it requirement in schools started. That's not related at all. The decision to make it required in schools came the year before, and it has to be done in advance to give the medical providers a chance to be ready to give so many vaccinations. And for the past 10 to 12 years, most pediatricians have already been given the hepatitis A vaccine. So if you've got someone in your family who is 12 years or younger, chances are they've been protected by the vaccine. So in a few years from now, this probably won't be an issue simply because so many people will be vaccinated, as long as the anti-vaxxers don't win out and starts keep spreading
right,
the bad
information. Right, and going back to that quote, anti-vaccine movement, of course, a big argument sort of being made, just at least in the social media sphere and sort of the news realm, is the possible correlation between vaccines and autism. Dr. Winter, first of all, is that even medically possible?
So it's certainly a question that has been looked at and answered many times over the last really three decades. And so there's now clearly known that there is not a link between vaccines and autism. And unfortunately, we don't know what causes autism. So we've looked a lot at vaccines and we know now that they do not contribute. But there are, you know, there are things that vaccines can do. You know, they do have a lot of benefits, and certainly anyone can have side effects from vaccines, you know, a local reaction, a sore arm, or, you know, you might get a fever even. But hepatitis A vaccine is interesting because it's really one of the safest vaccines that we have. It's actually, and one of the most effective vaccines we have. You know, we do recommend two doses, but even one dose is really, really effective. So it's actually one of the vaccines people tend to not object to if they really research vaccines and know a lot about them and their safety. But I think the problem is a lot of people are just unaware. And since it's not, has not traditionally been a school requirement, people don't know whether or not they've received the vaccine. So they just assume, yeah, I get my vaccines, I get my shots, right. And then they think they're protected, but they may actually not be.
Right. And another issue sometimes people bring up with vaccines is the possible conflict with certain religious groups. Mr. Hall, given this issue, what would the Lexington Health Department do to handle or accommodate maybe someone's religious preference when it does become this requirement for the school district?
Well, in any sort of outbreak, if there is in the school system and there's this child who is not vaccinated because of the religious exemption or medical exemption, we will work with the school system. And if it first, we make sure that as many students as possible have been vaccinated. But if there is somebody with the exemption, if they need to be excused from school and pulled out of school to not be exposed to it, that happens. It's very rare for that to happen, but it depends on the level of the outbreak, the level of the illness. Fortunately, with something like hepatitis A, we're not seeing it in the schools. It doesn't mean that it couldn't be in the school system. It doesn't mean that people could get it, but it's really not directed in the schools.
Right. Earlier, we heard from some very, very confused students here at UK. Mr. Hall, if you and your office had the opportunity to maybe create some sort of outreach program, whether it be on this college campus or other ones across the area, what would you hope to get across to UK students that maybe isn't being communicated right now?
I think that beyond the vaccination on campus, it's the hand washing, because proper hand washing can fight not only hepatitis A, but the flu or whooping cough or any of these other illnesses that are easily spread person to person in close quarters. If you think about, we're in a radio studio talking on microphones and right. using shared equipment. How often does that equipment get cleaned down?
I don't
how
wanna
often?
Know.
Yeah. How often in your journalism classes are the cameras being cleaned and sanitized? I'm not trying to put fear in you, but that's something to think about. You're in dorms. You're in apartments. You're in shared spaces.
Right.
And I was a college student. I remember that hand washing wasn't a priority. That's where I would start on the UK campus.
Right. Well, excellent point there. And on August 1st, 2018, like we said, that's when the Kentucky state government did pass that legislation to require students attending Kentucky public schools receive that vaccine. WRFL reporter Elena Kwan reports on the new vaccine requirement and the effect it can have on this outbreak.
1,000. In 2017 alone, there were over 1,000 confirmed cases of hepatitis A within the state of Kentucky. After the Kentucky Department of Health's declaration of the HAV outbreak, the state government officially took action 9 months later. In June of 2018, the Kentucky Department of Health enforced the mandate of the hepatitis A vaccine to all Kentucky students. The mandate of the vaccine went into full effect August 1st of 2018. Due to the outbreak's increasing numbers, the vaccination requirement demands that all students from kindergarten to the 12th grade must acquire this vaccination before attending any Kentucky public school. The vaccination requirement also requires incoming college students to be vaccinated with the HAV vaccine before attending any Kentucky university. According to LFHCD Commissioner of Health, Craig Humbug says getting the HAV vaccine is the best source of prevention. He also says the vaccine has an excellent track record, but most adults have not been immunized due to the vaccine being quote-unquote not given routinely as part of their childhood schedule of shots. Considering the number of adults that were not vaccinated as children, the Kentucky Department of Health hopes that instating this vaccination requirement will not only help contain the virus, but to prevent future outbreaks from occurring. Reporting for WRFL, I'm Elena Kwan.
Well, like we just heard from Elena there, the number of adults who are not vaccinated is slowly going down as more and more children are vaccinated now, obviously with the requirement that you need for K through 12, as well as going to a Kentucky institution. You touched on this a little bit earlier, Mr. Hall, but going back to that point, if you could sort of look into the future, what do you see sort of trend-wise with hepatitis A, if you had to guess?
The best hope is that in the short term is that it is trailing off. If you look in Lexington, we have only 20 cases so far in February, and that could grow as they filter in at the end of the month. But we're hopefully seeing it have reached its peak.
How does that 20 compare with maybe last November or December?
In November, we had 51, 38 in December, 33 in January. So you're seeing it slowly trend down. 51 was the high during this outbreak. Long term, I think that as more people get vaccinated, the awareness continues, you're going to see it less likely for an outbreak like this to happen. And the good news is already the ones that the health department's been able to track in Lexington, there have been almost 18,000 vaccinations just due to this outbreak. So it's a long way to go. There are 320,000 people in Lexington, but that's a great start.
Right. Well, obviously, it's a heavy topic, a lot to discuss. We're running out of time here, but just sort of as a closing argument, hearing from two professionals, if you could sort of send a message to the listeners about hepatitis A and what to be on the lookout for, what would that final message be? We'll start with you, Dr. Winter.
I recommend to all of my friends and family to get vaccinated because this is a vaccine that's safe. It works well. You aren't just at risk here in Kentucky. Anytime you travel anywhere, you're at risk for hepatitis A, and it's a devastating disease, and it certainly can cause severe outcomes. So get vaccinated.
Great. Anything to add, Mr. Hall?
One thing that you mentioned earlier were the symptoms, and they can be very similar to the flu and other winter illnesses. So if you have the fever, you're having the body aches, one thing to really watch for is the yellowing of the skin and eyes or the darkening of the urine. Those are some really telltale signs to hepatitis A. So if you see anything like that, go talk to your medical provider immediately.
Great, thank you. And to learn more about HAV, you can go to thecenterfordisease.org or to LexingtonFayetteCountyHealthDepartment.org. Thank you again, obviously, to our guests today, Mr. Kevin Hall and Dr. Kathleen Winter, for joining us. And thank you for listening. We'll be back at the same time next Wednesday to discuss social media's public influence and the, quote, influencers of it. It's going to be another good one, so tune in. For Campus Voices and WRFL, I'm Maggie Davis. Good night.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.